We're going to be joined here in just a minute by Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. Dr. Pry is a former CIA analyst. He is an expert on many topics related to nuclear weapons, nuclear war, military strategy, and of course, he was the former director, chief of staff of the Congressional EMP Commission. He is now the director of the EMP Commission that he runs, and he is working with many state governments as well and state legislatures, trying to help them understand how they can harden the power grid in their own state. Is a vital work, and now you know today is going all over that China, in fact, I don't know if you can see my screen here, Logan, but here is a shot from Breitbart. China stuns U.S. intelligence with hypersonic missile test. And the article is quite interesting because it says this: the U.S. intelligence agencies were caught by surprise. Well, imagine that. Imagine that. The intelligence agencies caught by surprise. I wonder why. Maybe because they're spending too much time worrying about the so-called domestic terrorist in America, i.e. conservatives and Christians and moms speaking at school boards. Maybe they should spend more time worrying about what's going on with America's enemies. Or maybe they don't even recognize them as America's enemies. But they were caught by surprise. Well, is that what they're going to do when there's an EMP? Well, we were caught by surprise by an EMP attack. Really? Because there was only a guy by the name of Peter Vincent Pry who's been warning you about this in books after books after books and speeches and radio shows and TV shows and position papers and articles. But you were caught by surprise, were you? Well, they were caught by surprise when China secretly tested a nuclear-capable low-orbit hypersonic missile in August, the Financial Times reported Saturday. The weapon circled the globe before descending upon its target, missing by about 24 miles. Well, depending on how big that blast is, does it really matter? I mean, you know, well, if someone said, well, that was close, you know, well, hand grenades and, what do they say, hand grenades and horseshoes, close isn't bad. And so they'd miss by just 24 miles. Well, again, I have to ask Peter Pry, how big of a warhead would that really matter? But he's been warning about North Korea having a satellite or maybe two satellites circling the globe. Are they already armed with a nuclear weapon? Could they already carry out an EMP attack on America? Are we about to be put over a barrel by China, North Korea, Iran, Russia? Nuclear blackmail? Military blackmail? And what is the solution to this? Well, it used to be mutually assured destruction. Strength, peace through strength. Wasn't that Ronald Reagan's motto? Peace through strength? Well, we're getting weak. We're very weak in America today with our military. But average American doesn't know that. They think, oh, the American military, we could take them all on and win. Well, you're being lied to. Are we going to get to a point where we're literally being blackmailed to surrender to China, North Korea, Iran, Russia, who are all in military alliance together and carrying out military exercises together? You better do what we say or else. Here's what we got. And America just surrenders. Why do we have to surrender? Because we're so weak, we can't offer up. Well, we could do the same thing to you. Mutually assured destruction. And everybody stays in their corner. Well, that's not where we're at right now, folks. The scale is being tipped. And Peter Pry has been, in many regards, the lone voice in the wilderness warning about this. And so he joins us tonight to talk about this very important program. By the way, we produce his radio show. We produce his TV show over at WVW-TV and at worldviewradio.com. Each week we produce his radio show at worldviewradio.com. And we're glad to have him with us on Lindell TV tonight. And we'll put this up also as a standalone interview later. And hope you'll grab the URL and spread it all over the place. Because this has caught the attention of some people tonight. But guess what? We should have had this on our radar, what Dr. Pry was saying years ago. Dr. Pry, thank you for joining us via phone tonight.
Well, thank you for having me, Brandon.
Well, I want to give you the floor. What do you make of this? I mean, China stuns the U.S. intelligence with a hypersonic missile and this thing orbiting. Why are they stunned? You've been warning about this stuff for years. Why are they stunned?
Well, because they're incompetent. you know, because they are incapable of thinking outside of their box, and they're arrogant. There is an assumption in the intelligence community. They're sort of stuck in a Cold War paradigm where they assume that the United States is the most technologically advanced superpower in the world. And if we're not doing it or we can't do it, then nobody else can. And this leads them to make mistake after mistake. For example, in the spring of 2017, the intelligence community was assuring us that North Korea was still 10 years away from being able to develop an ICBM that could reach the United States, and that they were also years away from being able to develop a hydrogen bomb. You know, that was just months before North Korea demonstrated both in the summer of 2017. In fact, on July 4th, they launched an ICBM that could reach anywhere in the United States. And they did that twice during the summer of 2017. And then at the end of the summer, in September, the beginning of September, I think it was September 3rd, they tested a hydrogen bomb, you know, which they weren't supposed to be able to do for 10 years. That's just an example of how our intelligence community is constantly being surprised and getting it wrong. Now, what's interesting and unusual, what makes this a technological first, is that China has combined two kinds of super weapons. One of them, called the fractional orbital bombardment system, has been combined with a hypersonic warhead. And that's never been done before. This kind of a thing has never been done before. The fractional orbital bombardment system, or FOBS, is not new. We've never done it. We've never developed that technology, but the Soviet Union basically invented it during the Cold War. And it was designed to make a surprise EMP attack on the United States, a surprise nuclear EMP attack on the United States. The idea is that, you put a nuclear warhead disguised as a satellite on a space launch vehicle, and then you launch it away from the United States on a southern trajectory. So it's flying away from the United States. And so we don't suspect we're being attacked because it's not an ICBM. It's a space launch vehicle. It's not a warhead. It looks like a satellite. Okay, it's a warhead disguised as a satellite. And it's flying away from the United States to the south. But you're using a booster that's so powerful that it puts the warhead into a southern orbit. And it passes over the southern hemisphere, passes over the South Pole, basically, and comes up on the other side, orbiting on the other side, and approaches us from the south. And during the Cold War and today, the United States doesn't have any ballistic missile early warning radars looking south, and we don't have any missile interceptors protecting our southern flank. We're blind and defenseless from the south. And the Soviets were counting on that in the Cold War to launch a surprise attack. The idea is the satellite, when it reaches, passes over North America at traveling at an altitude of about 300 kilometers, it would detonate and create an electromagnetic pulse, which would fry the electronics across North America, knock out command and control systems, fry the electronics in ICBMs and bombers and submarines in port, and basically paralyze us so that then they could launch. And that alone might be enough to win the nuclear war, but the Russians, as always, like to make the rubble bounce, and to be sure, would then launch their ICBMs across the North Pole and do your standard kind of a nuclear attack where you would blow up the bomber bases, blow up ICBMs in their silos, destroy the submarine ports, and win a nuclear war in that way. That was the plan. So the fractional orbital bombardment system, the secret weapon, it was developed by the Soviet Union during the Cold War, and was largely forgotten. It was largely forgotten by just about everybody except me. And that's just the truth. I was the first one who resurrected the idea or pointed out that when North Korea launched its first satellite, the KMS-3, back in 2012, December 2012, that this thing looked suspiciously like the fractional orbital bombardment system. They launched it on this southern trajectory. The satellite passed on its first orbit. It passed over the United States. And it's still orbiting over us. And the North Koreans put a second satellite, same They did that a few years later, so that they've got two satellites that are passing over the United States on the optimum trajectory for doing an EMP attack if those satellites have got a warhead hidden in them. And it wasn't just my opinion, but the EMP Commission warned that those satellites might well be nuclear armed for an EMP attack. So the Soviets came up with a fractional orbital bombardment system. They probably gave the technology to North Korea just because North Korea, by the way, has been getting help from Russia and China in its nuclear and missile programs. There's been a lot of technology transfers. That's why North Korea is so much more advanced than the intelligence community had anticipated, because they haven't been doing it on their own. They've been helped by Russia and China. The intelligence community still doesn't want to admit that. There are political reasons for that. You know, they want to believe that we can solve the North Korean nuclear threat through China, but that doesn't work if you accept the idea that North Korea is a client state of China, and basically the Chinese have armed them, and the Russians have armed them with nuclear missiles and sophisticated secret weapons like these, this fractional orbital bombardment system and the satellites. Russia has been, Vladimir Putin personally, has been talking about Russia bringing back their fractional orbital bombardment system. They're working on an ICBM. They're going to soon start deploying a new ICBM called the Satan II. And this is the most powerful. It's called a heavy ICBM. We don't have anything like this. It's called a heavy ICBM because it's got such a tremendous throw weight. You know, it can put something like 10 or 20 tons into orbit. And Putin has described this thing as being able to attack any target in the world on any trajectory. And they specifically have described it as being able to bypass U.S. national missile defenses by attacking us over the pole, just the way the Soviet Union had planned to do with the fractional orbital bombardment system, making an EMP attack back during the Cold War. So the Russians have actually been advertising that they do this. They probably have the FOBs already deployed. They've got, on some other system. They've got a lot of space launch vehicles like the Proton, you know, which can put into orbit tremendous amounts of weight, so they could put a huge warhead into orbit if they wanted to. We know the Russians have got a 100-megaton warhead, might even be 200 megatons. That is huge. I mean, that's more than 100 times more powerful than the most powerful U.S. warhead. 100 to 200 times the most powerful. I think the most powerful weapon the United States still has in its inventory is 1 megaton. So we're talking about 100 to 200 megatons.
Wow.
You know, that's like 10,000 times more powerful than the Hiroshima or Nagasaki bomb. 10,000 times. And it would be a great weapon for an EMP attack. You know, talk about making the EMP rubble bounce. You know, not only would it be able to, and you don't need a weapon that powerful, by the way, mm-hmm. you know, to take down the U.S. electric grid or to fry the electronics in U.S. nuclear systems. But the benefit you would get from a warhead of that yield is that it would also put out a lot of X-rays and gamma rays in space. So in addition to paralyzing North America, it would also take out the satellites at the same time with one warhead, you know, potentially.
And why are those satellites so important to our nuclear triad? And maybe explain what that is to people.
Well, the nuclear triad is our land-based ICBMs, our bomber force, and our ballistic missile submarines. And these forces can't execute, none of them can execute unless they get emergency action messages. And our satellites, from the president, those emergency action messages aren't just orders to go ahead and launch, but they include unlocking codes so that you can unlock the warheads, unlock the missiles so the missiles can be launched. You cannot launch the missiles unless you have those codes. The codes determine not just safety precautions, but they also determine what kind of a strike option you're going to make. What targets do you want to hit? And that information, you know, one of the ways of providing that information, especially to the ballistic missile submarine force that's at sea, is through our satellites. And the satellites are indispensable, the GPS satellites, to the accuracy of our cruise missiles and bombers and the ICBMs. In effect, if you take out the satellites, you're destroying the central nervous system of our military, our chief means of communicating orders and methods of guiding our missiles and bombers. You know, it's what has given our space assets is what has enabled the United States to be so successful in our conventional wars as well. The huge advantages we have in all the Persian Gulf wars, you know, when we were engaged in large-scale military operations in the Middle East and defeating Saddam Hussein's armies, for example, the first Persian Gulf War, was due to the satellites. We are able to take on adversaries on the ground who are many times larger than our forces, you know, because of the command and control capabilities and the extreme accuracy of our weapon systems. And because of the intelligence that we get from outer space from those satellites. If you lose those satellites, it levels the playing field so that the superior numbers of an enemy that we would face on the ground and in the air would suddenly matter again, and we would lose under those circumstances. But we have been victorious in classical kinds of battle situations like in the first and second Persian Gulf Wars because chiefly of our space assets. Now going to China, in effect, what China demonstrated is that it now has a fractional orbital bombardment system, but it has something that nobody else has demonstrated because it had a hypersonic warhead delivered by that fractional orbital bombardment system. And I don't really buy, I wonder why, it hasn't been explained in the press, and I don't know if this is the Pentagon's opinion or if they're relying on what the Chinese said in, when they advertised, you know, this event, why they're saying it missed its target by, you know, a couple dozen miles. How do we know that? Why do they say it missed its target? You know, one of the most obvious missions for a fractional orbital bombardment system is an EMP attack. And 24 miles is nothing when you're doing an EMP attack. You know, the radius of the EMP is hundreds of kilometers, hundreds of miles. And so you really can't miss. You know, a single weapon is going to do something like create an EMP field that would cover all of North America. And that's probably the most logical. It's the most effective and most decisive kind of a weapon that there are other things you can do with a fractional orbital bombardment system. But the first thing I think any military planner would probably want to do is use it for EMP, because that's the most decisive, the most effective way of using a fractional orbital bombardment system. Why would you add to a FOBS, though, a hypersonic warhead? There's a good reason for doing that when it comes to the EMP issue. You know, because if you're just using the fractional orbital bombardment system, just the FOBs, you know, the weapon is going to be up there around 300 kilometers. You know, that's enough to put an EMP field all over all of North America. And that would, take out electric grids, communication systems, all the unhardened civilian stuff. But the ICBM fields, you know, the bomber bases, the ballistic missile submarine ports, you know, we have tried to harden our military forces against EMP. They're hardened. The nuclear stuff, the command and control assets for the nuclear deterrent, are hardened to 50,000 volts per meter. You know, that's pretty hard. So if you wanted to attack the the ICBM fields, you'd want to put the peak EMP field down on them. You know, the center of the EMP event, you know, is where the EMP is strongest. And so what you might want to do is have the FOBs deliver a hypersonic warhead, a glide vehicle with a nuclear weapon in it. And by the way, the glide vehicle has been described as being designed to carry a nuclear weapon. And then you'd have that thing go down from 300 kilometers altitude to say about 70 to 30 kilometers and find itself over, you know, a missile field or over a bomber base and then detonate. And that would put a peak field, you know, and it put the strongest EMP field right over the asset that you're trying to attack. And, you know, there's only about three ICBM fields, two, three bomber bases, and the two ballistic missile submarine ports, and then a handful of, you know, command and control assets like NORAD headquarters, and then, of course, Washington, D.C. So fewer than, you know, maybe 10 or 12 targets, you know, with a very powerful missile like the Satan II or a very powerful space launch vehicle. You know, you could have a single missile deliver, you know, a dozen of these glide vehicles. And
wait a minute, let me stop right there. So one single missile, one rocket launch could contain enough of those individual, what do you call them, gliders to do this?
Yeah, hypersonic warheads, hypersonic glide vehicles. Wow. It depends upon the kind of missile you're using. You know, if you've got a Satan II or if you've got a Proton space launch vehicle, the Chinese have been sending things, to the moon and beyond. So they've got a pretty advanced space program. So they've got heavy lift boosters that could be used to deliver. Now, they use a Long March space launch vehicle, Long March 3 space launch vehicle, to deliver this single, glide vehicle. But they have more powerful rockets than that. And if they wanted to get more sophisticated, you know, they could just put multiple weapons, you know, on a single fractional orbital bombardment system and, get them up. The FOBs would get them over North America, and then these things would detach and glide down. They might even be powered, you know, with small engines, you know, so that they could put the peak fields right over the dozen missile bases, bomber bases, ballistic missile submarine bases, key command and control nodes. And in fact, I've actually described this method of attack, this kind of an attack. The EMP Commission described this in a report. I've described it in a report I wrote for the EMP Commission. I've described it in reports that I wrote independently of the EMP Commission.
Do you have one of your books that we can promote where they can go and get it that would have this? What book would that be? One of your books, like Blackout Wars or what?
I'd say The Power and the Light.
Okay, that's his latest book. Let me plug that for you, because you're always too humble to plug your own stuff. But let me plug his latest book, The Power and the Light, because he's saying that what China has just done, he actually was warning about that in his book. When did that book come out, Dr. Pry? Like a year ago?
The Power and the Light was published in 2020. Before that, the EMP Commission in 2017 published my report, Nuclear EMP Attack Scenarios and Combined Arms Cyber Warfare. And that has got exactly this kind of scenario right in it. That was back in 2017, you know. And that's available. People can actually Google that. It's free. It's available on the EMP Commission website, www.firstempcommission.org.
And also
www.firstempcommission.org.
But I also want to plug them to get your book, The Power and the Light. Just go to Amazon, type in The Power and the Light by Peter Vincent Pry. Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, The Power and the Light, has a lot of this in there as well. We've got about 2 minutes left before my time slot's over. Dr. Pry, what this report at Breitbart says the U.S. Army is scheduled to begin deploying a long-range hypersonic missile in late 2023. Do you think that'll really happen under this Biden administration?
Well, it probably will. I mean, unfortunately, none of our hypersonic vehicles are designed to carry nuclear weapons.
That doesn't
cross the anti-nuclear bias of the Biden administration. They're willing to. On the other hand, it might be stopped. A lot of what we're doing might be stopped because when Biden was in Geneva last June and had the summit with Putin, it didn't get a lot of coverage, but they're going to be holding. He walked right into a trap that Putin set for him, an arms control trap. And the Russians and the Biden administration are having what are called strategic stability talks about new arms control agreements. Now, the Russians have violated all the arms control agreements they've signed with us, yet the Biden administration is going ahead and wants to deal with the Russian threat, not by building up U.S. nuclear strength, not by building up, new high-tech systems the way the Chinese and the Russians are doing, but through arms control. And one of the things that has been suggested by Biden's political base, the anti-nuclear activists, for example, from the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists and the less, one of the things they're recommending is bringing back the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, the INF Treaty, which the Russians are already cheating on. But if we do that, if we reinstate the INF Treaty, it'll stop the Army's planned hypersonic missiles because those are intermediate range missiles. The hypersonic programs that we have are for the intermediate range missiles.
Wow.
And Wendy Sherman, who is the person leading the charge for the Biden administration, is just the person to do it.
Wow.
She's one of the most grossly incompetent people in the State Department. Hmm. She gave us the agreed framework that enabled North Korea to become a nuclear weapon state. She led under the Obama administration. She led the negotiating team for the Iran nuclear deal. I'm sure you've talked a lot about that on
yes.
your show.
Yes.
One of the worst, Iran isn't already a nuclear weapon state. I think it is already, but it's on the threshold of becoming one. And now she's been entrusted to negotiate with the Russians on a whole range of arms control issues. And one of the things she's being pushed to do is to sign us up again for the INF Treaty, which the Russians are cheating on, all right? But we would stop, the practical effect of that would be to stop our hypersonic weapon program and our intermediate range missile program. Another thing they want to do is have a freeze on U.S. ballistic missile defense and a prohibition on U.S. space-based defenses. That's one of the things the Russians would like, something Wendy Sherman is likely to give them, silo-based ICBMs. They want to, another thing that's being talked about is, banning silo-based ICBMs, which amounts to banning U.S. ICBMs, because all of our ICBMs are based in silos.
Right.
Russia, China, North Korea have missiles, ICBMs that are mobile.
Mobile,
and they
yep.
wouldn't be touched by a silo-based ban. And the Russians could do something clever, like say, okay, we're going to get rid of 40 Satan-1s that carry 400 warheads, and you have 400 ICBMs. So you give up all of your ICBMs, the 400 ICBMs, and we'll get rid of 40 Satan-1s. They're planning to replace the Satan-1 with the Satan-2 anyway. So in effect, they would give up nothing, but we would give up all our ICBMs.
Wow.
So these are some of the arms control nightmares that can come out of these so-called strategic stability talks that will actually, if any of these ideas are implemented, they could be the nail in our coffin. Mm. They are highly destabilizing agreements that would put Russia or China or even North Korea in a position to win a nuclear World War III against us. You know, we have signed on to so many of these arms control treaties that have been violated by Russia and China. We cannot afford one more big treaty that is a screw-up.
Absolutely.
It could finally be the nail in our coffin that results in either nuclear annihilation or the adversary being able to win without war, because the balance of power will be so clearly against us that we will have no choice but to just surrender everywhere in the world.
And that's how we started out the program right there, that nuclear blackmail. Folks, you can see why we bring on Dr. Peter Vincent Prize, the expert on this, right? And as we conclude tonight, I do really hope you'll go to Amazon.com, type in Dr. Peter Vincent Prize, look at all of his numerous books. He has been a lone voice in the wilderness. I'm not kidding you. And again, his latest book, The Power and the Light. And I hope you'll check out The Power and the Light. Folks, not only do you get some great information and give some of these, by the way, to your elected officials, but this is a great way, again, to support the work and the research of Dr. Prize so he can keep educating us about what we need to know about our government, our national security, so we can try to hold our elected officials accountable. It's vital, the work he's doing. I wish I could convey to you how vital it is, but just trust me, it is, and you need to support his work. And one way to get some great resources and support his work at the same time is to order his books by going to Amazon.com, type in Dr. Peter Vincent Prize, or you can order any of his books, his most recent one, The Power and the Light. Dr. Prize, thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you so much, Brandon. Thank you for having me.
And we'll have Dr. Prize on tomorrow as we tape his national radio show and have it up tomorrow evening, his weekly show at worldviewradio.com.